opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Three shots of espresso.
Jason's had the coffee today. Good evening, Northern California. This is Shasta Live.
KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Yep. This is Shasta Nigel. Live
with
Nigel.
With Nigel, James, and Jason. By the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
So, necessary.
Right?
Necessary. We are so necessary.
And we actually, this is be a fun show. It's, we have some professional musicians in the house.
We can do a little music.
And they recognize thing. That intro song, right, Mark?
I might have heard it a time or two.
Okay.
Yep.
Just checking. Just so it's Monday, whatever date it is.
It's the 4th.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be fun.
Tomorrow, yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
He's going to be gonna stay home. With
stay home.
Draw the curtain.
Yeah.
I'm leaving town.
Pull the blinds.
Yeah, I've never wanted a meteor to hit the earth and so bad.
Yeah. We'll just,
put us out of all of our misery.
We'll just open the door on Wednesday and see if we're all still here. But until then, I thought it would be fun to do like a positive show because, you know, music,
the world language, universal.
Right?
That and food.
Brings us all to that and food, yeah.
That and food. Music
brings
and food.
Us all together.
Rock God.
Now you're speaking Mark's language.
Mm-hmm. Mark just ate a taco, too. He's doing the best.
Oh, yeah.
So I think most of us here have some kind of musical background. I know I did.
I did
so when
a little
I moved,
bit.
When I moved to Reading, I'm like, hey, mm-hmm. Who's here? And so we actually have
everybody at this table and behind the command
behind the command center.
There, everybody has some musical background of some kind.
And we have in the studio Dimitra and Mark, mm-hmm. and your band is Danger Kitty,
mm-hmm.
right?
Danger Kitty.
I love that name.
I like the way Jason says it. You're hired.
Well, Jason,
when I hear it, all I ever think of in my head immediately, not that there's an association at all, but it's Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the cat thing.
Who came up with that name?
I don't know. I was thinking about that.
That's an ongoing argument.
Really?
Uh-oh. Are you trying to distance yourself from it?
Or both, no,
we love it. Oh, no, we love it.
We love it.
Okay, so it's a claim. It's a claim fight. Not
but
a,
it came up several years ago when we were naming our cover band, and it was like probably both of our first choice or one of our top choices, and it didn't make it. It was not. Yeah.
Hmm.
So we just held on to it and had the right project.
Yeah. So
and eventually the cat came out.
Yeah, we did that together.
So when you look around the local music scene, you guys seem to be at the top of the food chain, right?
Are we at the top?
Well, as far as they're the meow mix. Well, you look around and you see who's doing what and who's playing and who's actually promoting themselves.
Well, before we get ahead of ourselves, are you guys native to the area? Transplants? I mean,
we're both long-term or long-time transplants. I moved up here when I was a kid from L.A.
All right.
area.
Yeah, yeah.
And have been here off and on most of my life.
Many are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, James is a transplant from Cottonwood.
Yeah. Same story.
That's our hometown now.
Transplant from L.A. I mean,
See Wood.
And Mark, how about you?
I was born in the Bay Area, but I don't remember it all. We came up here when I was about 3.
Yeah,
so,
so
I'm pretty close to a native.
Yeah, I was
pretty
say.
Close to a native.
So you guys are both part of the furniture at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you guys seen Reading grow, haven't you?
Oh yeah.
I was going to say they're babies.
Yeah,
I've seen Reading grow.
Yeah.
When we used to come from Bella Vista, it was like we were traveling long distance to come mm-hmm. to Reading.
You had to take an airplane.
It was like, God, are we ever going to get there?
Yeah, I remember seeing I-5 being built. from Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Tractors.
Oh, my.
That's before my time.
Wait a minute, Mark. Yeah. That's way back there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was in the, what, late 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I remember. I got here back in 1875.
Going way back.
Well,
way
back. Whatever you're eating, Jason, I want some of that. Yeah, because if you go.
Hey, I'm on a roll. I'll settle down. I want another shot of that coffee.
Yeah.
That's why you have a flask next to you. Yeah. Of coffee.
It's lemon water.
That's good. That's good. All right. So, Demetra,
yes.
How did you get into music?
I've been singing for as long as I could talk, pretty much. Like, I think I was 4 or 5, and I went to a Lutheran school, and I almost got kicked off the school bus for singing Devil Went Down to Georgia, because I just loved the song and thought it was great, and it's so wordy, and I was all proud of myself, and tried to tell the nuns that it was a good song, because, you know, and they did not, they still did not approve, so. But
That's iconic, that song.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, because whenever I was in high school, so Nancy at Axiom was my high school music teacher, and she kept trying to get me to do, like, solos and get up in front of people, and if I was in a group, I was great, and then if I, you know, if you wanted me to sing by myself, it was like,
So kind of like now?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Lots of changes. Lots of changes.
Did you ever have to go through the voice lessons where you go, la, 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 la?
I did. I actually, I studied at Shasta College and then transferred to University of Pacific. And did all of that.
Are you okay?
How much caffeine did you guys give him before we got here?
Well, the scary part is we didn't give him any.
I know.
Oh, no.
It was a couple of chocolate. The caffeine chocolate things.
Oh.
It's the giggles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Edibles. They're contagious.
Yeah. 3 shots of espresso on each one.
Like a little girl.
I need
that. I like it all.
Oh, we're going to have a really interesting.
It didn't take long.
But you know, if I were to tune in and there's just a bunch of people having a good time laughing, I'll sit there and know nothing and just laugh with them because it's so contagious.
See, absolutely. It didn't take long for this to actually become Spinal Tap. So it this is really good, right?
That's good.
We'll have to have the Spinal Tap quiz towards the end.
Absolutely.
All right.
He's got
How
it.
Much more black can you get? The answer is none more black.
Smell the gloves.
That's right.
Smell the gloves.
We have 11 more minutes.
11 more minutes to what?
Well, no. It goes to 11.
Oh, okay.
All right. So how did you get into music?
You
ticked off the nuns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, and then I played musical instruments all through elementary school, junior high, high school, discovered bass and really, really dug
laid
that.
Down the groove.
Yep, laid down the groove. And then I took 15 years off.
Oops.
And I was in a place in life where I couldn't do it. And then in 2015, 2014, I think, I got back into music. And
that's actually amazing.
Yeah. And
was it like a bike or did you have to like work at it a little bit?
Well, the playing part was like a bike, but the actual getting up in front of people, because I told, you know, if you've ever seen Pink Floyd live, their backup singers are oftentimes behind like this big, you know, sheet and all you can see is their silhouettes. And I tried to get my first band to do that with me. And they were like, no, you're the front person. you have to be up there and people have to see you. And I was just like,
you should have pulled a Sia and just put like a big old wig on that nobody could see. Your
right.
Face.
I know. If I'd have thought of that, I probably would. but no, it was just making myself get out there and do it because I love music that much and just wanted to do it that much. And so just kept at it and kept at it. And then I have people like him that like to push me out of my comfort zone, like at last year's Bash.
Wow.
He wrote a brand new song, finished it, that day or the day before, taught it, you know, like showed it to me, taught it to me in the green room, and then we went out on stage and did it in front of an audience of 200 people.
Okay, but that's scary. Wow. That would be scary.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, just because I would be afraid I'd forget the line or something, right? Like, you didn't have any kind of like...
Oh, no. I took the lyrics with me.
Oh, did you?
No. And I told the entire audience that we were flying without a net.
That's good. We're going to take our first one-minute break.
Oh.
And we'll come right back.
It was interesting.
Danger Kitty.
Danger Kitty.
Don't so high. Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
I really like this song.
And we're back. Good evening. Shasta Live.
Shasta County Chamber.
Yep.
Presenting to you Shasta Live.
Yes.
With Danger Kitty.
Danger Kitty. And Demetra's busy eating.
That's all right. We
need, we need to talk about your
chocolate.
Your new venture.
Everybody's here just mowing on some chocolate.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Delicious.
Okay, so continue. So you took 15 years off.
Mm-hmm.
And then return with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and I just kept, it's one of those things where I just kept making myself get out there and do it, and it was uncomfortable, and it was, you know, awkward. And
mm-hmm. Well, I listen, you know, I hear stories and follow people, musicians and stuff, and there are a lot of front people that have a lot of anxiety issues. Well, and I've always thought, I mean, I could understand it. Like, I would be afraid in the sense, like, you're going to screw up or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then at some point when I feel like when you can find that expression or whatever it is that's coming from the soul, at that point it really doesn't matter anymore. When you screw up, it's your humanity. It's your, like, everybody is like, I know when I've been concerts and they screw up, I'm like,
art.
I love you even more.
Yeah. Well, and that's the place we've gotten to with these guys. They're just so good that, you know, it's like sometimes you take a left turn and you go and we get jammy, and we've gotten to that place where it's actually comfortable and it's fun. And, you know, I really enjoy our songs and what we're doing and our, you know, our audience. We're blessed to have the most wonderful audience and a lot of support here in town.
So what goes on in your head that causes that anxiety? What is it?
Actually, you know what?
What's the talk?
He's a psychologist.
I didn't know we were going to therapy. Yeah.
Here, honey, here's my chocolate and a couch. Lay down.
No, honestly, I don't really remember anymore. It's just, like, I did not like to
sing
where people could hear me. It just made me nervous for some reason. Mm. Like, they, you know, like, I wasn't good. Because it took me a long time to find my voice when I was younger.
Mm.
So it just, yeah.
But as a musician, though,
yeah.
I mean, all musicians I know, if you don't get nervous a little bit, at least before the show starts,
you're dead.
That's what I've heard.
So, Mark, how about you? How long have you been playing since 1800s?
Oh, man.
Along with Jason?
Yeah.
Before the I-5 was built?
Well, I got into music for the Chicks.
Chicks.
No, when I was in fourth grade, I went up to the music teacher. I said, "Yeah, I'm interested. You know, what can I do?" He looked me up and down. He goes, looked at my mouth. He goes, "Trombone." And, you know, nothing against trombone.
Learning new things about him tonight.
I'm like, I'm now looking over like, is that a trombone mouth?
Trains jump on the track.
I don't know, I think he was just trying to fill a hole. So I went home and told my parents that, and they go, no.
No.
You're not playing a trombone, which I think it would have been cool, but so they bought me a little drum thing, so I started on drums, did that for a while, and then I realized that...
they chose drums over trombone?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't... I just got the rubber pad.
The pad, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, that was first, and then when I got into my early teens, I traded my first motorcycle that my parents bought me for my first guitar and amp with the kid down the street. I had my second motorcycle at the time, so.
So you were okay.
I was okay.
I was going to say, what did the parents do?
Yeah. I don't think I told them.
Is that when you became homeless?
Yeah, I don't think I even told them. My parents were very cool. So, then I started with guitar, and then I kind of set it down for a while, and then around high school, I started really getting back into it and learning and actually started writing songs back then, too. So that would have been around 1979, 1980, right back then.
Hmm. So yeah. Do you remember your first gig?
I do, yeah. We didn't have a drummer. We had a drum machine, one of those early Roland 808s.
I remember those.
They were nice. Yeah. They were nice.
Yeah, she kept time.
Yeah, we had to program, every fill and every turn and everything. It was a party. And I tell you, we got really tight with that drum machine. Super tight. I mean, that thing did not screw up. You know what I'm saying? But, so that would have been very early 80s. And then probably by mid 80s, I was in working club bands and been playing pretty much ever since.
In the Bay Area?
No, up here.
So what was your primary genre of music? Was it mostly
rock?
Rock.
Yeah, it was all rock, Zeppelin. Yeah. Aerosmith, bluesy bass stuff, AC/DC. Yep.
So how has it been for you guys to navigate the local music scene? And how would you describe the local music scene?
Actually, I think in recent years you can. I know it. You've lived here long enough to probably know that it was actually pretty flourishing back in the, 80s and early 90s, and then it died off for a long while, and now we're seeing kind of a resurgence, a renaissance, if you will, and it's great. There's live music everywhere. You've got cover bands that are playing clubs. You've got original music. You've got all kinds of venues now that we didn't have. You've got the food truck park. You've got, we've had Mosquito Serenade forever, but they bring in regional bands, so they tacked on... Yeah, Axiom. We've got Axiom. Hmm. They're doing things all over.
Actually,
the IOF. They did a whole series.
Yeah, and in this month's magazine, what do we have? The Cleveland Bonet
and their jazz
Cleveland
festival. Yes, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And
because we had an incredible jazz festival for years.
We did.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know what's interesting is growing up in Reading, we've had a lot come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like people say, oh whatever, and I'm like back way in the day when I was a kid. We had a Porsche dealership. We had a BMW dealership. Mm-hmm. We had a Volvo dealership. We had a Mercedes dealership. I mean, we were like a real, I don't want to say that that's the benchmark to a thriving city, but we had those things. And then somehow during a period of time, things really dried up. Because back in the 80s when I was here, we had so much to do when it came to music and places to go and actually clubs to go dance in and do all kinds of stuff. And we don't even have that now. And there's sometimes I'm like, I don't want to be an old fuddy-duddy and think live in the past or whatever. But, I mean, there was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It was.
That we don't have to do anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Like,
yeah.
I thought when we got a big five, I thought we were really walking a tall cotton.
Well, when I moved here and I saw that the grand opening of Trader Joe's was on the front page of the newspaper. I'm like, okay, I'm in trouble.
You're like, oh, this poor little town.
He's like, where did I just move?
Yeah.
No, we even have a music festival now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Going on its fifth year.
Yep.
I mean, that's, that's pretty good, I think.
Is there a lot of camaraderie between
there is
the band
yeah
up
there
here.
Is yeah yeah it's almost boring that everybody gets along so well.
It's almost boring.
there's no trashed hotel rooms with TVs, broken TVs.
Well,
not in
if you've
anywhere.
Seen Demetra's
area
after she's getting ready for a show, it's pretty trashed. But no, it's
she's shaking her head. Yes,
she's actually in agreement here.
Everybody gets along pretty well around here, actually, and is pretty supportive of one another. So it's actually pretty nice. This is a really hotbed for musicians too. A lot of talent,
right
up here.
Yeah.
A lot of talent. I wish we had a few more venues, but
I always thought being up here that the one thing that is missing is like a 500 seat venue.
Yep.
Right?
Totally.
Yes.
The Civic is big. It's 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bad acoustics, too.
Cascade is great, but it's 1,000 and everybody's sitting down.
Yep.
Yes.
And
Axiom's
like
fantastic.
The Dip and everything. The Dip is fine, but, but you've been to L.A., so to have one place here that's like the Roxy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or the whiskey. Just one club that holds about 500, yeah. right? Because
standing,
we have so many...
Floor standing, but then raised kind of, you know... Mm-hmm.
Because we do have a lot of bands
theater, like,
coming through.
Coming through, yeah. and they're going from Sacramento or the Bay Area yeah. up to Portland, yeah. and they stop here to sleep. Mm-hmm. Well, whilst they're sleeping, they, yeah. know, they could like squeeze one out, right?
Yeah. I like to get a mosh. I like to get a mosh pit.
That can be arranged. That can be arranged.
I would see James down there. Rock on.
I, let me tell you, I get videos probably on the weekly from my son in Texas, and it's him flying through the air, jumping off of stages, and I'm like,
how do you do it?
You're 6'6". And you're flying off a stage. I mean, like, these people are probably being just pulverized when you land. Right? You know?
I'm telling you, you know, back in the 80s when I was in L.A., one of my friends was Slayer when they were starting out. And when they played with Exodus and a few others, there was a mosh pit.
Oh, here we go, the name dropping.
Yeah, name yeah. dropping.
Yeah. Well, you can see, but that's yeah, about as...
The numbers all go to 11.
Right.
That's yes. good. That's good. Okay.
Yep. So, but well, Jason, I could see you right in there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nigel's background. People don't realize how really like big it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
well, that was so, previous life. That was like a long,
but you're
long
so
time.
Humble about it, right? Yeah, like you were yeah. sticky all up in that long
yeah,
hair
all
band
up.
Stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's been all on, stay he's silent. Been on stage with, yeah.
I'll stay silent on a few things.
Who was it that we were? Oh, I just went to breakfast with a friend that came to town. They moved away 19 years ago. He was my boss. And they live in a town, some little teeny tiny town. And the person, like the biggest celebrity in their town, owns like some ungodly, like 30,000 square foot mansion in their town, right? It's like hotel size, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, do you know who it is? And I said, I wouldn't have a clue who it is, but it's the lead singer for Twisted Sister.
Oh. Dee Snider.
There you go, Dee Snider. Yeah, that's their resident.
He was pretty
famous person.
He was pretty imposing in his day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll bet.
You know,
that was one of my first vinyl.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Under the Blade. That was
yeah,
a good.
That's
show.
A good question. So, one first record would have been Twisted Sister of some
that
kind.
That was one of them.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Your first couple albums?
How about you? What was your first album?
My first album was Kiss Alive 2.
Ooh, yes. How about you?
Kiss Alive 1.
Oh.
But I had a lot of, that was my first vinyl.
Uh-huh.
But before that, I had a lot of, you know,
A-tracks. A-tracks?
Yeah. A-tracks. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
God, love A-tracks.
What about you, Jason?
Chet Atkins.
Oh. That's nice. All right.
Mike, and Johnny Cash.
And you, what was
Come
yours?
Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike.
Your first album.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? He's mute right now.
What was your first album?
I bought two at the same time, and it was Kiss Alive 2 and Pat Benatar.
Oh, no. There you go. It's funny how people remember their first album and their first car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember my grandmother got me, it was a Fisher-Price record player. That was what I got it for Christmas, and I went right out and got my first two albums with her.
Wow.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, the first one I got was Kiss Alive 2, and mm-hmm. I played it nonstop in the house, like nonstop, like,
yeah.
You know, hour, mm-hmm. and then my drove my parents nuts. And after a couple months, they said, can you play something else? I'm like, yes. So I went out and got Kiss Alive 1.
I just went, and my parents were very much into music, so I just went right to their,
mm-hmm.
you know, they had a huge album yep. collection, and yep. I started playing. Yep. And that's when you learn about yep. music, you know. I was busy listening to all that good stuff, right?
Yep.
Led Zeppelin,
yeah.
and I was Fleetwood Mac, and, you know, I got totally into Dolly Parton. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
I can
yep.
see that, James.
Yep.
You can still buy vinyl at Cascade Curations.
Yep.
yep. Yes, you yep. can.
Cascade Curation,
yeah,
on California Street,
yeah.
in downtown Reading. You can buy vinyl there.
We need to get our vinyl in there.
Yes, yeah. we do.
Come on, you guys, talk to me.
We have vinyl.
Okay, tell you what, we're going to take our 2-minute break, bottom of the hour, and we'll come by right back. With
right back. Danger.
Grab your chocolate. Now you can chew
and your coffee.
Can't quench the flow. serving businesses. Listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious home-style meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Be telling the truth if I said you were more than I could ask for.
Hey,
just give me your time, I'll give you mine.
Sweet home Alabama.
We could have just left this whole hour up to Jason and he would have been just fine.
I promise I'll be good from here on out.
No, don't be. I don't like it that way.
Welcome back, Chats like Alive.
Bad kitty. Bad kitty.
We have Danger Kitty in the house.
Meow.
Talking about our local music thing.
I can't stop.
Oh. So, Jason, why don't you tell us about
are you sure it was just caffeine chocolate that you ate?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Starting to be rather suspect.
Now I know why you call it Redding Buzz.
Buzz. No, it was the chocolate. Certainly.
All of a sudden, it makes more sense. Buzzing around, right?
Buzzing around.
So welcome back. KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM.
I hope you don't mind that we're making this a lighthearted show. Now, I know tomorrow's all doom and gloom. We thought we'd have a fun time tonight.
Right? Maybe that was it. I know tomorrow's going to be like, it's going to get serious.
But music is the universal language, and I think...
And
you
food.
Know,
I'm food again.
Well, in your case, it's food and chocolate and
well, why
coffee.
Do you see every time you look, what like the travel of the world, what you do, people are sitting around eating and there are people playing music all around,
mm-hmm.
right? So yep. you're right.
Okay, so first concert you went to?
Oh.
Ooh.
I don't have a good answer.
Real concert.
Does the concert at the fair count?
That's a concert.
Like you know,
it was Michael
you
Bingham.
Buy a ticket and you actually go... with intent to your first show because you bought a ticket and you're like, I'm going to go see that band.
Okay. It was Pink Floyd,
Ooh,
the Division Bell Tour in Oakland in 94.
That's a good one.
Uh-huh.
That's a good one.
Wow.
Okay, Mark?
My first show was Gary Wright at the Civic in probably about 77, 78, somewhere in there.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dreamweaver.
Yeah. Okay. Jason.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
He's like, it's all a blur.
It's all a blur. You remember your first show, James?
I know right up there it was Kiss Destroyer. There was that, but I also in this one period of time I just like hit it hard. So I saw Bowie, and I saw Kiss, and I saw Susie and the Banshees. And there was a whole thing that I did. Rolling Stones. So I can't remember which one was first, though.
Oh, my first show was AC/DC with Bon Scott.
Oh,
a few months before he kicked the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
now, those us old farts, you know, we would refer to those were the days when bands could play, right? Where it's like you take the cord, you plug it into the amp, and what you get is what you get.
Oh, you mean like no tracks?
And no, yes, you know, you actually have to.
There was barely electricity.
Yeah, you actually had to, like, really be in sync with each other and just, you know.
No video walls, no, you know.
What you got is what you got.
Maybe a pyrotechnic here and there.
So I'm sure you guys, and Mark, especially as a guitar player, you've seen that transition, right?
Oh, yeah.
From back then when you just had to, like, plug in and play.
Very true. Yeah, that's, well, I think that was the best era for music. I mean, I love all music through the ages, but I, you know, I'm a child of the late 60s, 70s. Mm. Those bands were it for me. And yeah, it was just pure.
And there can be great stuff, but.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Nothing's, in my opinion, has ever compared after that, right? Lots of talent, lots of great music, but that, like, was like the pot of gold that just, like, made everything come from there.
Yep, agreed.
Okay. The music scene here, what would somebody have to do to make a living at it? Could somebody make a living here in Reading, making music, teaching music, or anything combined? Don't know how it is up here, but down in L.A.
As a player or a producer?
Well, as a player, I know that some of the cover bands, like if you have a good cover band, you could make a decent living.
She's rolling her eyes right now.
Not here.
Oh. That'd be a little tough.
Here, honey.
Well,
here's my glasses. You can squint through
these. So let me rephrase that for Reading terms. How much are you in debt because you're in a band? How much is it costing you?
No, we're not. But, you know, our market isn't going to, I don't think, if you're in a cover band, you know, you're splitting it how many ways? Because, I mean, the cover bands I go and see have anywhere between four and, what does Hook have, like seven people? So, you know, it's whatever that is chocolate. Does not, he's like, I need chocolate now. but
singer-songwriters do really well.
They do really well because.
Singles, duos, they actually do well, and they can play any night of the week.
Yeah. Or even just the musicians that play together, like a duet or whatever. Mm-hmm. We used to hire them all the time for the wine bar.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like $500 here and $500 there. Or, you know, we'd have a young kid come in and play piano and he'd get paid $300, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so if you're a single or, you know, a duo or something, you can do that because there's a number of, you know, like Cheesecakes Unlimited and Mosaic, the Branch House. There's a number of different places around town that you can go and play, or, you know, you can also do opening spots for other people. If you can get in, you know, if you're good enough, you can get into the Cascade, have all your, you know, like an EPK and whatever, or at the Civic or, you know, I mean, State Theater. Like, there's a number of places in the North State that you can play.
Mm-hmm. Any younger musicians locally that you've run into or that you've seen and you go, oh, there's someone you can play? So that's a no.
All right.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know.
No,
He doesn't.
He actually doesn't go out as
much.
I
stay in my bubble, man.
Yeah, he likes to be in his bubble.
She's the social butterfly over there. I don't know who's young and upcoming.
You know what? Okay, there are. There actually is, right? I'm trying to think. Garoppi, what's his first name? I've actually run into people that are young musicians here, and there are a lot of actually producers here in town. I mean, when I say that loosely, like they have their own studios and stuff like that, and they're producing some of these young artists, and some of them are really good. Mm-hmm. Not the genre of music that you produce, but just I don't know even what you would call it. Modern pop, yeah, something that's really cool. And I actually have quite a few of them that I've. Because my kids work for Dutch Bros, and a lot of these kids are young, trying to make their way, right? And I've heard a few of them, and I have tracks on my phone that I play that I'm like, if this could be presented in front of the right person, like, this is a song that should be number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really, I mean, I listen to it like it's a...
Or number two, at least.
Yeah, a number one track from a modern pop kind of, you know. Yeah.
Maybe number two.
Yeah. So they're here. I just don't know that they're not showcased very well to the public locally.
Well, yeah. And I maybe they don't know how to get connected with the local music scene or how to get started.
That's the other thing, though, right? So back in the day... you had one record store, and I was here, but we had one record store, maybe one or two music magazines, and so all the bands were featured in that, right? Mm-hmm. I know for myself.
Teen Beat.
You know, you saved your money, and you knew a month before the album came out that you were going to go down to the record store and buy the album. And now, it's so diluted. Yeah. I mean, there's a million bands.
Because of the digital, it's so hard to find. I mean, I know that, I mean, if you're really into it, I suppose, but when, I mean, just when you go to iTunes, it's like, my God, where would you even go? It's so,
there's
billion
so
songs.
There.
Like, how do you even find anything, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's difficult.
And you're getting paid, what, like
music
a half
there,
a cent for a,
oh, yeah, you
for a play? Or
You're not making
No, you don't. Really. You don't make your money from streams. You make your money from licensing, digital licensing for, you know, shows, movies, things like that. Or the people that have, like, 10,000 or more followers on social media, they can make money.
Yeah, I was going to say, in that realm, you're absolutely right. You know, and that's huge. YouTube and TikTok and all those. These kids, some of them can just sing like crazy. They just, you know, a cappella in a bathroom, right? And you're like, wow, you know, like, why aren't you singing, right?
Yeah.
This is nobody. I mean, but I have a friend. Her and I have been friends since we were little kids. We actually had the blessing of being raised 3 months out of the summer up in Lake Elowen in outside of I can't even, up in the mountains. They had a massive house with all these cabins, right? And we would stay at the main house with Grandma Blanche. But the cabins were, people would come with their families and they would swim and do all this stuff. But and I grew up with Johnny Cash's grandkids. So the three of us, four of us actually stayed with Grandma Blanche. And my friend Maya Sharp has grown up to be a very successful musician. She's opened for Bonnie Raitt and Art Garfunkel and all those times. She's a AAA artist, I guess they call herself, whatever. She's a songwriter. And she had the debut song on one of the Dixie Chicks albums, right? They could pay nothing. I was like, you know, it's number one song for these people, and they're making millions, and the actual person that wrote the song gets chicken scratch.
Well, you got to read the fine print in the concert. Okay, so you guys are actually doing – well, right now, you actually signed a management contract. Did I see that?
Yes,
did
we
I see
did.
That correctly?
Oh, we cool. did. So, have you heard of Saving Abel?
Saving Abel?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, so Scott Bartlett from Saving Abel, he and a couple of other partners started their own management company.
Awesome.
And a buddy of ours here in town came and saw our bash and then reached out to them and had them contact us. And so, we signed with them and started with them October 1st. So.
And what does that actually entail for people that are listening that might not know?
And I know the first question everybody asks is, when are you guys going on tour? And we're not. We still have day jobs, and you know, touring is actually not, it costs a lot of money to tour.
Yeah.
So it's not a money making proposition really. But it's more they have connections and they've connected us with, a really great booking agent.
Okay.
They have connections with PR people, so they're going to help us branch out. And what we want to do is we're going to tour, like we'll do like a little mini tour in the spring and one in the fall, like a week or 9 days or something. And then on weekends, we'll just travel regionally because we've got a little RV. We've got a trailer with all of our gear in it. We have a little tour bus. It's really cute. We should name it. But,
Jason will be your driver. Yeah, you'll get there in no time.
Yeah. Coffee.
But yeah, and so just wherever we can go from Washington down to, you know, Southern California, and they have, you know, because they're still relevant in the music scene, they have connections.
Sure.
So,
well, I mean,
that we don't have.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that's the music industry seems to be all about that.
It is.
But you guys,
it really is.
But you guys have actually done pretty good. You headlined Axiom, and just now you headlined Cascade.
Yes.
How did that go?
That went well. That was actually,
was it?
Yeah, that was my favorite show that we've played. Mm-hmm. I think that was the best.
Which
show
one, Axiom or Cascade?
Well, Axiom followed by the Cascade. Oh. Cascade was like,
that's a great venue.
That was an epic night.
Yeah. It just is so pretty when you're there. It's like, it feels real.
It really, it is the most beautiful building. I love that place.
Mm. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, we have one more one-minute break. One more minute. And we'll be right back with Danger Kitty.
Danger Kitty.
Danger Kitty. Oh,
heaven, it feels richer to see when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows. My honeysuckle rose. When you pass them by, flowers to bedside. And I know the reason why. You're my sweetest, goodness knows. My honeysuckle rose. I don't buy sugar. You just have to touch my.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season. Open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights. Don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR. .5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're back. Shasta Live.
I wish right now I could pop a bottle of champagne with a little caviar.
Yeah. No, I mean, by the way, I got a text regarding another local musician, Bill King.
Oh,
yeah. I guess he's done pretty well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's actually probably one of the only people I know that successfully made a living at music, living here for most of his life.
Cleveland.
Bonet, yeah.
Yeah, Bonet. But Bill used to write music for video games.
Yep.
He composed music for video games. And he's also a music minister at one of the local churches. Yeah.
And the Billies.
And he's in the Billies now.
He does a pretty good Elton John shtick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ooh, I love
Billy and the Jets.
Billy and the Jets.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Jason, have you thought about your first concert yet? Has it come to you?
No? I think it was Indy Ari, I think, at the Cascade.
Indy Ari.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Nice.
I saw
points
Juice
on the board for that. I
saw
thumbs
Juice.
Up.
I saw okay. Juice Newton at the Civic. hey, little Queen of Heart.
Queen of Heart.
That's cool. Danger Kitty. Yeah. Okay, so what do you guys have planned for next year?
Oh, man, sky's the limit for us next year. We're hoping to get out of town more, play some bigger venues, maybe get some opening band slots for some bigger bands. We're talking with our booking agent about doing an indie rock festival back east. So we're just hoping that they can, you know, they're just a team that work for you and have a much broader reach than we have had on our own so far, although Demetra does a wonderful job at all of that social media stuff. But yeah, we're and we just put out our second album, Sandbox, just came out in August. It's doing really well. And, we're just going to...
Ah, that's the sandbox you were talking about.
Yeah, sandbox.
I said, cat box, and you said, no, sandbox. Here we go.
Yeah, Danger Kitty sandbox. Yeah.
Danger Kitty sandbox. It kind of fits.
Yeah,
same business.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we're very excited about what the future holds for us. And
Any more shows coming up here?
Just New
Taking
Year's.
The rest of the
we're
year
going
off.
To be out of town for New Year's playing a show, but that's our last one that we have booked right now.
Where's that?
That is North Fort Grange.
Yeah, up in Trinity County.
Trinity County.
Yeah. They like to have fun up there, and we really like going up there with those guys. So.
Oh yeah.
Mountain people.
They're a fun music loving really group, cool. and cool. they've yes. already like one of them already hooked us up with a beautiful house on the river, and right around the corner from the Grange, and like it's gonna be great.
So, are you, Demetra?
I'm not
bad. So, Demetra, are you more comfortable now being out front and being the lead singer?
I am. I've gotten to a place because he constantly pushes me just outside of my comfort zone. In a good way, and I've gotten to a place where I'm feeling like I feel comfortable and confident, and like I enjoy what we do. I love the guys that I play with. They're so talented that I know that, you know, whatever we do, if we decide to go off on some jammy thing or whatever, they're like, we're all right there.
Well, I think all you guys are great, but your drummer is one of the best I've ever seen.
We get that a lot. And then the fact that he can do that and sing. Like, he is just, but, you know, he's one of those people that he's so humble, you would never know half the things that he's done. But he's, like, his old band from L.A. has opened for Brandi Carlile, and, like, he's done some stuff.
It's interesting how people are so talented, but yet still things. Like, so yeah. I didn't realize for a long time, and I know now, and I constantly rib him when I see him, but Cleveland is an incredible singer.
Oh, yeah. He has beautiful voice.
Yes. But he doesn't want to sing while he's playing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm like, play and sing, my man, play and sing, come on.
Yeah. Right? I know. Well, and he sits in with us sometimes, too, and it's so fun. But, yeah, I know, I keep threatening him. I'm like, okay, one of these days we're going to get you to sing harmonies
with us.
He's
like, no. And then I'm like, okay, well, then take the keyboard away, and here's a mic.
Yeah, so, he's humble. Cleveland's a humble dude. Yeah. And our drummer's name is Kane McGee, by the way. Kane McGee. Yeah, he's a wonderful artist. We're very, very happy to have him in the band with us.
Yep. And if you have not heard Tyler Mansfield, our other guitar player, is phenomenal. He
great names.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they sound like
very rock and roll.
Rock and roll. I know. I'm like, shredding. Yeah. I think Jason crashed.
I didn't crash. I'm like, in the background.
I don't know. He's kind of come back.
No,
out of
I'm good. I'm good to go.
And I'm like,
Mark's offering me chocolate.
Okay. So the last part of the show, we usually do geared towards people listening or visiting or they haven't been here very long. So we will talk about
what's your favorite fishing hole?
your favorite place to eat.
We always talk about food.
Yeah.
Right?
Food.
And so,
like, what's your favorite type of food and what's your favorite restaurant?
Do I have to pick one?
No.
I like food.
No, you
can. No, there's no shame in that.
I don't know. A couple of my favorite places, and I'm weird because I'll pick places because I like the food, but also because I like the people.
Mm.
So
Le
Testimony, the organic bistro. Yeah. I love those people, and the food is always amazing.
Awesome.
Everything I get there, the food, the drink, everything is always amazing. Mm-hmm. Where's your
organic
favorite?
Bistro?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they make like crepes and salads. And
I'm the type of person that
Jason,
likes
we need to go.
I find
yeah.
dish. I find dishes.
I was
going to
say spot on. I think we need to go.
Certain restaurant. Like, I will go somewhere just for this one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's how I pick. I'm like, and people, like you said. I mean, the people that, you know, make it, you can feel the love in the food and stuff. But I'm like, I go here for this dish and I go there for that dish. And
mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me.
So anywhere else you'd like to go? Mark, how about you?
Yeah.
Mark,
back to you. I would probably pick Jack's. I've always loved a good steak and a baked potato.
Their salad makes me crazy.
Salad. You like it?
I love it.
Get the bowl.
Oh my gosh, I'm like, just get out of my way.
Or, you know, food truck tacos.
I really started to get hungry.
Tacos. carne asada. You know, I'm basic. I'm a meat and potatoes type of guy.
Well, you know, you're a touring musician, right?
I am.
So you can't be picky.
That's right. Because I just got to eat all the stuff.
You like Nello's.
I do love
Nello's. We drove by that last night.
Like, they make a good salad, too. Best service in town, I think.
Yeah, I would.
Right
definitely.
Up there.
I love
very,
that.
Very good.
So, Jason.
Caesar salad.
Yeah.
Mr. Buzz over there. Any new restaurants coming?
Oh, yeah.
There's a new one in Cottonwood opening. It's the former Roadrunner Grill. And so it's going to be a steakhouse, ranch house. Famous chef is going to be open it probably any day. I mean, probably this coming week.
That's
here,
good
so.
News.
Has anybody eaten at the new Odell's?
You know what? I don't know. Not Odell's, but there's a Donatello's on Lake Boulevard, a new pizza place.
Oh, Donatello's. Yeah, not Odell's. What am I saying?
I understood you.
Who
I picked it up.
No, not Donatello's. He moved from Reading to Dunsmuir.
Oh.
Jason Miller.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, I don't know why I said Odell.
That's
Lucky Miller's. Yeah.
Okay.
I said Odell's because it's right next door.
Same great food.
And I just bought my Thanksgiving dinner from them on the way over.
Did you really?
Did you eat it already?
No. I ordered it.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
For family of 10.
Oh, I thought you said 24.
No.
Oh.
No.
Are you inviting us all over?
Yeah.
Do you have a stage?
Yeah.
You have a stage in your house? You can invite Danger Keith.
Open, right? Yeah. Open that garage up.
We can make it 24. real easy.
Real quick.
Okay, so James.
Yeah.
Tell us about the little box of chocolates.
You know? Oh, yeah. So exciting. You know, many people know of Chocolate Day Nanette. Nancy Matthews has been around for almost 40 years doing chocolate locally, all handmade. Mm-hmm. She uses Guittard chocolate, which is, originally, I should say, it's, I think, Dutch by way of, but it's from the, 18-something in San Francisco. So it's an American chocolate company technically now. She's retiring, and myself and Spencer decided that we didn't want to see something like that go, and so we swooped in, and we're going to continue that process. And then, so we'll keep Chocolate Day Nanette because it's got a name here in the local area and stuff. And then Spencer and I have been working on our own branding, and so it's Spencer James Confectioners, and we will be really expanding into a lot more diverse products, not just chocolate, but chocolate-covered espressos, toffees.
Jason, stay away.
Any special, special chocolate.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Jason's going to be your best customer.
I might have to take that box home.
We are in production, and we are sharing space, and, you know, Nancy's teaching us the way of the force, and we're looking for a location in Reading to bring this to fruition and stuff. So, I mean, like after the new year, probably you'll see things. We're making chocolate for specialty things right now. You can contact us if you have something that you want done. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, we aren't going to really launch until.
So you guys are basically the local Willy Wonkas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'm Willy Wonka and Willy Spencer Wonka. Is an Oompa Loompa.
Oompa. Hey, you didn't hear that, Spencer. Ain't nothing by it.
I need to get that spray tan of his a little more orange, just to make it look more real.
Is it confirmed? Is that spray tan? Is it confirmed?
I don't know.
Don't tell him. Shh.
It's a very special thing.
You know, and the truth is, you know, you say things like this, you hurt the ones you love the most, because I really love Spencer, so.
So Big Lots is, we did a post, them closing, but now they're going to remain open.
Now they're
Big
open.
Lots.
They changed their mind.
Yeah, they changed their mind. They're going to remain open.
That reminds me of Kubler's every time. They're going out of business.
Yeah, going out of business.
And then you buy everything. And then
I go down there and buy
6 years later, you're like, didn't you go out of business?
Well, this is like 30 times.
I went to,
is this the 3rd time?
Hey, I'll name drop here. I went to Ozzy's first farewell gig.
Oh, yeah.
I think they've done 5 farewell tours so far.
Farewell number 6.
We're talking about food and chocolate, and now we're back.
Well, they changed their mind. They changed their mind. They changed their mind, right?
It's a theme.
I think we have ADD.
We have a lot of things here. Well, I wanted to find a way to change it back into rock and roll because we have 2 more minutes left.
We have 1:53.
Oh, man, we're down to the wire.
Mikey's got us on the timer. Yeah. Right?
So we're here with Danger Kitty, Demetra, and Mark. And you guys are married, right?
Yes, we are.
Congratulations.
Oh, you know what? I was going to ask that question, but you talk about the band, and it was kind of like there was, like, you guys are just bandmates. But I kept thinking, gosh, I really wish they were partners because they look like they would work well together.
Yeah. We do.
We got married in Venice, Italy in 2020.
In Venice?
Yeah. Right before the COVID.
Did you go on those little boats, you know, whatever they call it?
The gondolas.
Gondolas.
The little boats.
Did you have chocolate?
We did. Yeah, we had chocolate, wine.
Of, the coffee.
You had noodle. Wine, you had pasta.
Oh, we had pasta.
Did you have gelato?
Yes.
Jason, I think you need to expand to Venice Buzz.
There you go.
If you need help, we will come. We will be your tour guides because I would gladly go back to Venice.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Did you guys get off the beaten path?
We did. Okay. We did. We started every morning getting up before everybody else because we took 16 people.
Oh, my God.
You took 16
people?
We all stayed in a villa together.
Same villa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Venice is amazing. Wow. If you go there, do the tour, see things for a day or two, but then you got to get off the beat and go where the people that live there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because that's when you find the magic.
Did you really notice the difference in the food there?
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Incredible difference.
Yes. You don't want to come back.
No.
It ruined us for coffee. We couldn't even drink coffee.
6 months. No joke.
And you eat whatever you want and lose weight.
I still fit in my wedding dress after eating pasta and bread and drinking wine and eating dessert for 5 days.
So the show's going off the air, but we'll continue blabbing. Thank you, Northern California. We'll see you.
Thanks for having us
next week.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you.
Booyah. Yeah.
Another day in the together.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.